Eating and exercise habits is a good idea. I think practicing responsible spending and savings habits is a good idea. I think practicing tithing and good stewardship is a good idea. I think that taking time to read the Bible and spending time with God, it's a good idea. There's a difference. If you ever, back in the day when you could visit people in the hospital, all right, and you would go visit. Wow, look at that. I'm still preaching. So you think about it, and you go to a hospital visitation. Now, one woman is strong in her faith, all right? This is a person who spends time with God, spends time with the Bible, reads her devotions, and is extremely devoted. And you have another woman, and she's got National Enquirer and Gossip magazines stacked all over the floor and everywhere else, and she never has time to read the Bible. She spends tons of times watching TV game shows and other shows, but never has time to spend with God in prayer. Both women in the same hospital, given the same diagnosis, but their perspectives are completely different. One is at peace, while the other one knows nothing but panic. One has a pantry stocked full of spiritual experiences that she can draw from. The other does not. No reserves for stressful times. So I get the importance of being prepared. That's the motto of scouting, be prepared. Someone once asked Baden Powell, who was the founder of scouting, be prepared for what? And he answered, well, for any old thing. The training you receive when someone has an accident because of your first aid instruction, you might be able to save a non-swimmer who has fallen into deep water because of your life-saving practice. But he wasn't thinking of just being ready for emergencies. His idea was that all scouts should prepare themselves to become productive citizens, to give happiness to other people. He wanted each scout to be ready in mind and body for any struggles and to meet with a strong heart whatever challenges might lie ahead. Preparing for disaster is something that at least some of us prepare for. But what about preparing for joy? Preparing for pleasure? Preparing for blessings. The traditional Boy Scout motto, be prepared, taught a generation of kids a lot of useful skills. But those skills were put into practice by going fishing, rock climbing, cooking marshmallows over a campfire. Fun stuff. As Christians, we're called to be prepared, but not just for trials and tribulations, but to understand that Jesus wants us to be prepared so that we can party with Jesus. Are we prepared to party? That's what the kingdom of God is. It's a party. What if we saw this parable not as gloom and doom, but if we focus on the reception? Today's gospel text isn't just about judgment based upon personal failures or infidelities. The five foolish bridesmaids are foolish only because they're not thinking forward enough. They're not mean, they're not wicked, but their eyes are not focused on the prize of the wedding reception, their celebration. The whole reason why they were called as bridesmaids in that first place was to help usher the bridegroom to his new space and new place. It's the bridegroom's party. They had accepted an invitation to a party. The invitation is grace. But what do you do with the grace? What do you do with the invitation once you've accepted it? You get ready. Not to prove yourself worthy, but to enjoy the celebration of witnessing a joyful event. Too many times people hear this story and they don't hear the arrival of joy. They hear the threat of judgment. Oh, you better not be in a movie house when Jesus comes. Oh, you better not be playing cards when Jesus comes. They go crazy about it. If you ever studied history, back in the 1830s and 40s, especially in Ohio, you had the Millerites, followers of William Miller, who had predicted that Jesus was coming in April of 1843. And him and all, and on October 23rd, 1844, all the faithful ones were gonna, and they wore white robes and went up the mountains and hills so they'd be closer to heaven for when Jesus comes. And they were just so focused about when they missed the fact that Jesus was already with them. That's the whole point. Jesus is already with us. End time eagle eyes who are always focusing on things that smack of evil and error and disaster and disrepair. But the five wise bridesmaids were wise because they're looking ahead to the party, a party they don't want to miss. They're looking forward to being the lamps that help light the way to a joyous banquet, an opportunity of blessings, a fulfillment of hopes and dreams. We're not called to be on the lookout for disasters and destruction, for doom and gloom. We are called to be on the lookout for God's unexpected, unpredictable appearance in our midst. We are called to be on the lookout for good news, for all those unexpected gifts from God, to be on the lookout for party time, not for end times. To share the excitement of a six-year-old who rides a bicycle for the first time without training wheels. Or the excitement of a 16-year-old who just got their driver's license. To celebrate graduations and engagements, new homes and new jobs and new opportunities and new additions to families. To party with those who get to retire and, if they're brave enough, who go traveling. It's a party when we're able to celebrate God's presence with us. We are called to be party planners, party preparers, party recognizers. We recognize the joyous presence of Jesus being with us in the moment to celebrate God's goodness and grace. Our pre-party behavior is not one of fear, gloom, and doom, but one of anticipation and hope, joy and celebration. We don't hunker in a bunker waiting for the end times. We partay. We celebrate. Because the gospel is good news. And we celebrate it with good times. Did you know that one of the first things God says in the Bible, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 16, eat freely. It's one of the first things God says. One of the last things God says is in Revelation chapter 22. It says, drink freely. Take the water of life without price. Jesus says we're the light of the world, and the world needs our light. We hear this parable and we think about a door being shut and people being separated, but that time is not here yet. There is still time for us to tell others, to share God's invitation, that there is time for us to invite others to the party, to the kingdom of God, to say, hey, there is a party, and you're invited. And what's that party going to be like? Well, there's going to be a table. And at that table, everyone is going to be invited. And at God's table, there's going to be an opportunity for everyone to partake of the bread of life, to drink from the cup of forgiveness and grace and the new covenant, to be able to celebrate God's grace and God's goodness, to be able to come together as one people, as God had always intended, to celebrate God's goodness, love, and mercy. All of us are invited. It's the bridegroom's party, and you're invited to come and partake.